Everyone, Trish, is my mic working this time? Last time she said my mic wasn't working very well. She gave me a hard time about it. So hopefully my mic works well this time. Welcome to Catalyst. First Sunday of the month is always my favorite Sunday of the month. You know why? Kids, do you guys know why this is my favorite Sunday? Because there's food after. I meant because we get to worship together as all the generations. That's my favorite part. So we are continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit in multi-gen services. Kids, last time, you guys did a great job. You guys helped me out a lot. You guys were quiet. You guys paid attention. When I asked for participation, you did that. Can we do that again, please, today? That would help me out a lot. No. Oh, thanks, right? It's my kid that's saying no, right? So that's how it always is. I'm really excited about our service today. I think we have a lot of fun stuff in store for you guys. Some of you said that last time you liked Dil Nye. Maybe he'll be back today. But as we get started, does anybody remember what verse we're talking about? Well, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? So where do we find the fruit of the Spirit? I heard Galatians. Oh, it's Dylan. Dylan said Galatians. Gracie, can you come up? Gracie volunteered to help read the verse today. So it's found in Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Thanks, Gracie. So far, we've already talked about two characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you guys remember what they are? Riley. Karis. Yes, last month, Uncle Brett talked about patience. And you guys might remember a little video that he showed. And it's not working? Okay, you guys might have remembered a little video that he showed. It was a video of Brinley. I just wanted to show, just have an excuse to show the video. It's a video of Brinley that she's being patient, waiting for some gummy bears that her parents asked her to wait for. And so she was trying to be patient. But I thought it was so cute because she was doing a little jig and a little dance. So I thought it was fun. I thought we'd get a little kick out of that. What was the other one that we talked about? Anybody? Okay, Dylan. We talked about peace, right? And how peace is more than just about not having war, but it also means wholeness, like Auntie Jody talked about this morning, about being whole inside and how everything is the way that it was meant to be. So as we continue to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, one thing that we'll notice is that all the characteristics, they work together. So as we continue to learn and grow and experience more of the fruit, it's going to make more and more sense as to why Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and not the fruits of the Spirit, right? Because there's one fruit with lots of characteristics. Did you guys know that the Bible talks a lot about us being fruitful? What do you guys think it means to be fruitful? What do you think? Ellie, what does it mean to be fruitful? What do you think? To me, it means to produce fruit. So God wants us to produce a lot of fruit. He wants us to experience the fruit of the Spirit so much that we experience and share it with others. I highlight a few verses from John chapter 15 where Jesus talks about us being fruitful. So we'll notice there's kind of a theme to these verses, right? So verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So I have a question. If you're growing fruit, let's say oranges, if you're growing oranges and your tree isn't growing or it's not producing fruit and you're not experiencing the fruit, What would you think is the problem? What do you guys think would be the problem? Might be that it's not getting enough nutrients. It might be, there's a variety of things. But do you think the problem is with the seed? Probably not. It's probably not with the seed. It's probably something else going on in the surroundings. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus talks about where this problem could be. It could be in the soil. It could be in the soil. So maybe one of the reasons that we're not experiencing the fruit the way that God wants us to is because of the soil. And guess what? I asked a special guest to come visit to talk to us a little bit about growing plants. It's my cousin. I have a lot of cousins, huh? You guys remember last time we had Cousin Terrence come up, or he was on the screen? Well, I invited a different cousin, but he's not here. I don't know where he is. I don't know where my cousin is. Maybe he went to Stanford instead of coming here. Maybe he got lost. Maybe he went to the wrong place. So let me go find out where he is. I'll give him a call and find out where he is. Why don't you guys watch this video that I found from Crossroads Kids Club about a story that Jesus talked about what this problem might be. And then let me go find out where he's at. So why don't you guys watch this video?
A farmer went to his field to plant some seeds. Some seeds fell into a path. Before these seeds had a chance to grow, some birds flew in from out of nowhere and ate the seeds up. Some seeds fell into stones and rocks. These seeds started to grow, but their roots couldn't go deep enough to get water. And when the sun came up the next day, it burned up the plants. Some seeds fell among thorns. They grew, but so did the thorns, until the thorns got so thick they blocked out the sun and rain. Still, other seeds fell into good soil that was perfect for these plants to grow. These seeds grew into big, tall plants, and they made seeds of their own. And those seeds became big, tall plants too. Eventually, those seeds grew to produce many times what was planted.
Howdy, y'all. Am I in the right place? I must be in the right place, because y'all look like some of the... Oh, I see my little cousins over here. I see them over there. I must be in the right place. I don't know where my cousin went, but my name is Fred, and I'm a farmer. And so my cousin asked me to come over and talk to y'all a little bit about being a farmer. And like that video y'all just watched, that's one of my favorite Bible stories. It's very applicable to my job also. As a farmer, I plant a lot of seeds. And you know, every seed that I plant, I want to see it grow. I want to see it grow to a big tree and produce lots of fruit. And you know what? If a seed's not growing, a lot of times it's because it's planted in the wrong soil. So, you know, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, wait, did my cousin tell you what fruit we're talking about or what characteristics we're talking about today? What are we talking about today? We're talking about joy today. How many of y'all are experiencing joy like all the time? I don't see very many hands. I want to see, hopefully by the end of today, we'll see a lot more hands. Okay? So we're talking about joy. Let's make this a little bit more relevant, this story a little bit more relevant, and talk specifically about joy. So in our story, there are four soils, right? Those four soils represent four different types of people. So God wants us to be fruitful and experience His fruit of the Spirit. In this case, it's joy. He wants us to be all the good soil. But if we're not experiencing joy all the time, like, you know, I didn't see that many hands, maybe we need to take a look at what kind of soil we are. So maybe we're like the first one, where life has been hard for us. It's been difficult. We've been walked on or hurt. We believe that God doesn't even want us to have joy because our life has made it seem like that's not possible. So when joyful opportunities come up, we don't experience it as joy. I asked my cousins to come on up here. Come on up. To show us a little bit about what that looks like. All right. My first one, the little cousin. All right. Dylan, I heard you like to go to Disneyland. Do you like Disneyland?
Yes.
All right. Next time we go to Disneyland, can we go on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
No.
Why not?
It's too scary.
It's too scary? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I asked my cousin Garrett to come up here too. He's got Coda with him. All right? So we're going to see something. Let's see how Coda responds to this. All right. Let's take a look. All right. Did you see how big of a smile that Coda had on his face? Right? He's smiling like big. He loves it when he goes up and down and up and down, right? Well, isn't that just like what the Guardians of the Galaxy ride is like? You just go up and down and up and down and up and down. So what makes it so different for Coda, who can have so much fun going up and down and up and down, and Dylan, who is very afraid, right? This joyful experience, the enemy has stolen from Dylan. So now he's not going to experience it as joy. He's going to experience it as fear. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. High five. All right, so maybe that's not us. Maybe that doesn't relate to you. Maybe we're like the second soil, where the world has convinced us that joy is only available when things go our way. When things are good. Kids, you guys like candy? Yeah. How do you guys feel when you get candy? Are you happy when you get candy?
Yeah.
How about when you get presents on Christmas or your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? How about when a bully makes fun of you?
No.
How about when you have to clean your bedroom? How about when your mom and dad says, it's time to go to sleep right now?
Yes!
You are lying right now. I know your daddy and that is not what you say to him. So maybe we're like that, where when things are good, we experience some joy. That's good. We want to experience joy, right? But when things are bad, it's hard for us to experience joy. But maybe we're like more like the third soil, where we keep being reminded of bad things in the world or bad things that might happen to us, and we are worried and nervous all the time because we're trying to find our joy and security in temporary things. But our worries make it difficult to experience joy because that's all we think about. That's kind of like this third soil, where the thorns are choking out the seed and makes it hard for it to grow. But guess what, everybody? There is good news, and the good news is that God is a good farmer, and like me, he wants all of the seeds to grow, so he wants all of the soils to be good. That's why I brought my shovel with me here today, because that is one way that us farmers can help fix the soil, right? So if it is a hard soil like the path, we can go in and we can go dig it out and till the soil and make it soft, make it help things to grow in it. Right? Or if it's like the rocky soil, we can go out and help pick the rocks out. Or if it's like the thorny soil, we can go kill those weeds and give it some room to grow. Right? So God is a good farmer, and he's going to give us opportunities to help each other to till our soil. Sometimes it's hard for us to do it ourselves. It might be like, I'm supposed to have joy right now, but it's a difficult situation. So sometimes, hey, I heard your church likes to talk about stronger together. Well, that's one part of being stronger together, is we can help to till each other's soil. We can help make each other stronger so that our seeds can grow. Because God has planted his seed of the fruit of the Spirit in each one of you, and he wants it to grow. He wants it to grow so big, like in the story, where it's fruitful, and then it goes to other people too. That's why it's called fruit. All right, I think my time is done, but my cousin's not back here yet. So, Dylan, can you come up here? I want you to read a verse while I go find your daddy and go get him. So come on up here. I need you to read this verse so I can go get your daddy and get him back over here. This one right here. This is found in Romans 12:2. And the reason that I picked this verse for us to read is because sometimes we need to shift our mindset, and that will help us to be able to experience our joy. Because the world wants us to experience joy like we talked about, like number two. When good things are happening, we're happy. When bad things are happening, we're sad. That's how the world wants us to experience it, right? But God wants us to shift our mindset so that we can think, we can experience joy all the time. All right, so let me go find your daddy.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right, I'm back. I guess my cousin did make it after all. So like he said, today we're going to be talking about joy. And the world says that we should only be able to experience joy when good things happen to us. But, you know, like, there's always, we always have good things happening, especially in the United States. A lot of good stuff's happened to us, right? You guys get a lot of candy, right, Riley?
Yes, I want candy.
Yes, you get a lot of candy. We've been able to experience a lot of good things. But God wants us to be able to experience His joy all the time. So we're going to take a look at a few different verses that show us how the Lord's picture of joy is a little bit different than ours. So the first one we're going to look at is Matthew 5:11. I want you guys to tell me if you guys would experience joy during these times. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Do you guys think that would normally make you guys feel joy? But Jesus is saying, rejoice and be glad when this happens. Do you guys like it when people make fun of you or say mean things? I don't. But in those times, Jesus is saying, rejoice and be glad. How about this next one? Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do you guys know what rejoice means? I looked it up in the dictionary. It says, to feel or show great happiness about something. Do you guys feel great happiness always?
No.
So why do you guys think in the Bible that they're going to say things like this? Why is this going to be in the Bible if it's not something that's possible? The reason that it's in the Bible is because with Jesus, these things are possible. We are going to be able to experience and rejoice always. But it's not easy. It's not easy. The enemy's going to put all these different things in our way. He's going to try to make our soil hard. He's going to try to make our soil full of thorns. But with Jesus, we're going to be able to do this. So I have a few more verses. Hebrews chapter 12. It says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, having fixed our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Right? So it was joy that actually allowed Jesus to endure the cross. He was able to experience that joy, and that's what helped him to go through that experience. That's a difficult experience, but it was because of joy. And that's the same type of joy that he wants to put in us. That's the seed that he's planted in us. And then James 1:2, I want to give a shout out to my small group, because we recently went through the book of James, and Blake made us memorize this verse. So James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God wants us to experience joy even when things don't go right. But God also wants us to enjoy when things are going right. So that's okay. You don't have to feel bad because you experience joy when things are going right. God wants us to experience joy always. And I think that's something that's cool about our God, is that he wants us to experience joy always. So as we move towards stepping into being a city on a hill, that's something that people will notice, our joy. The joy that we have even when things seem dark. Hey, guys, you know what time it is? I think it's time for another Dill Nye video. So he's going to help us understand what this looks like. So let's see it for Dill Nye.
Hello and welcome back to my laboratory. Wow, wow, wow.
Oh, not you again.
That's right. I'm the copyright police. And you're copying a famous TV show.
Okay, well, I didn't like this anyways. Roll it back.
My name is Dill Green, your experiment team. And today we're going to do an experiment on how the world expects us to experience joy and how God wants us to experience joy. For this experiment, we're going to use an egg, a carrot, and coffee. Each of these items represent us, and we're going to be putting them in boiling water, which represents any time that something doesn't go our way. We'll start off this experiment.
in the fluid. Now let's see what happens when we add to the boiling water. One way the world expects us to feel after something doesn't go our way. Our hearts become hard and we try not to feel anything. Next, we're going to do a carrot. The carrot is very strong and crunchy. Now we'll see what happens when we put it in the boiling water. Strong and crunchy became soft and mushy. This is another way the world expects us to feel after something bad happens. We become very weak and fragile. In both cases, whether we become hard or fragile, we don't experience joy. Lastly, we're going to use coffee. Now let's see what happens when we put it in the boiling water. Instead of the hot water changing the coffee changed it. God wants our joy to flourish so much that instead of the situation stealing our joy, we change the situation.
So in the video, we saw that the world expects us to be like the carrot or like the egg. Those are two very common responses to things not going our way. We get hard and try not to feel anything. Or we get soft and we get weak. But in both of those cases, it's hard for us to experience joy. God's plan through Jesus is that by being connected to him, we can still be fruitful even during difficult times. So if we go back to our John chapter 15, where Jesus is talking, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So what he's talking about is on our own, it's going to be really difficult for us to experience joy all the time. When we try to do it, I could try real hard. I could tell myself, I'm going to try to be joyful. This is hard, but I'm going to try to be joyful. And it's going to fail. It's going to be too hard. But when we're connected to Jesus and we remain in him, he can help to transform our mind, help us to transform our experience so that we can experience joy all the time. So there's one last thing I want to leave you with. As you guys might have noticed the smell, especially you kids in the front, you might have noticed the smell. It might smell a little bit like coffee in here. So I do think that there is a lot more that we can learn about coffee than Dill Green had, or actually he's not, yeah, he's Dill Green. I keep forgetting, he changes his name all the time. I keep forgetting what his name is. What Dill Green was talking about. He didn't have that much time. So I think there's a little bit more that we can learn about coffee and how it relates to joy. Okay, I want to get a poll again. How many people, raise your hand, drink coffee regularly? And kids, if your parents drink coffee regularly, raise your hand. So let's see. How many people? Okay, cool. I think that's the majority of the people in here. So the majority of the people in here drink coffee, but not a majority of the people here experience joy every day. I want us to be able to flip that around so that we can all experience joy all the time. Like it says, rejoice in the Lord always. So here's some things that I think we can learn about coffee and joy. So I brought in my wife's, this is not mine, this is my wife's special pour-over coffee maker, okay? So I have some hot water here and I have some coffee. So as I'm going to talk as we're making this. So one of the things that you might notice about this coffee, especially if you're sitting in the front, and it might start to seep into the rest of the room, hopefully by the end of this time, is the aroma. Let me do this. Benji, can you smell that? When I was growing up and I was their age, I used to love it when my parents made coffee because I thought it smelled so good. So I'd always tell them, Mom, I want some coffee. And then I would taste it. And my parents drink it black. And so me, who is used to eating candy, did not really like the coffee when I was growing up. But the first thing that you might notice about this coffee is the aroma, the smell, right? And that's how God wants us to experience joy too, is that when we enter a room, that people can experience our joy when we enter the room. Just like when we walk into the house or walk into a room where someone's been making a pot of coffee, you can smell right away, right? So when we enter the room, the joy that the Lord has put in us, he wants people to experience that right when we walk in the room. Second, coffee. This is one way to make it. It's hot, right? When you drink it hot, it might be comforting. It might be a comfort drink. It might be something that gets you up every day. Some people like to drink it hot. Personally, I like to drink my coffee cold. I like cold brew. I really like it. I think it's refreshing. And that's something that's unique about coffee, or I think it's unique. It's a drink that can be had and enjoyed hot and cold. I think that's like our joy too. When people need something, when they need comfort, they can take comfort in us because of the hope that we have in Jesus. Right? When they need refreshment, our joy can bring them refreshment. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people, when they saw Coda and his face, they were refreshed, right? His joy helped to bring refreshment. So just like coffee, joy can bring refreshment, it can bring comfort. It's not just one thing. But when other people experience it, it can be amazing. The last thing about coffee, my wife didn't want me to bring this because she said that it's stained. Our coffee maker is stained. But I think that's something that's important for us to remember too, is that God wants the joy that we have to leave a mark on people. So that when we leave the room, when we enter the room, they see it. But when we leave the room, they say, there's something. Something about that marked me. Something about that was different. And I want that. I want that. And it's our joy that we have because of Jesus. I think coffee is an amazing drink. I didn't used to. Like I said, when I was growing up, I really didn't like to drink coffee. But now that I'm older, I found an appreciation for it that I didn't have before. And you know how it started? I had to drink it with a lot of sugar and a lot of cream, right? So for some people, that's what they need, is their joy to be like really fun and really happy and really exciting. But that's not the only picture of joy that we have. Joy can just be a strong, firm hope that we have that God is working, that God is good, and that God is doing something in our lives to transform us into the type of people that can say, we rejoice all the time. We can have joy all the time. So I want to leave us with a little bit of an activity that you guys can do during the second worship set. Up front here, you see these four baskets, and each basket has some coffee beans in it. And there's also some papers and some tape packages. So on each paper, this is actually a reminder. So I saw a lot of people raise their hand when they said, we drink coffee regularly. So this is something that we can put near our coffee to remind us that God wants us to be able to have joy all the time. It can be a daily reminder for those of you guys that drink daily. If you drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee, you might get reminded quite a bit. So on the card it says, thank you, God, for planting your seed of joy in me. May this coffee bean remind me of how you made me joyful and want others to be full of joy too. So on your own, if you want to, you can come up, grab a card, grab a bean, put the tape on, and take it home. There's also some, Sakura has some coloring pencils if you want to color it, make it look nice. My wife's also going to get mad at me because on some of these cards, the smaller ones, there's a bunch of lines on it because we didn't cut it out straight. But I also want that to be a reminder to everyone that God wants us to have joy even when things aren't perfect. God wants us to have joy all the time, right? When things go our way and everything's all cut out nicely, but also when things aren't cut out nicely, we can have and experience his joy. And it's because of Jesus. God has planted his seed of the fruit of the Spirit in each one of us. He wants it to grow. He wants each one of us to be the good soil. And as a church family, we get to help each other to become the good soil. We get to help till each other's soil. We get to help encourage each other. We get to help each other to experience more and more of His fruit of the Spirit. So let me pray, and then we'll invite the worship team to come up. Thanks, Benji. Okay. Lord, we just thank You for this time where we get to learn about Your plan for us with the fruit of the Spirit. You want us all to be fruitful. You want us all to experience Your joy in all seasons. So God, we just thank You that that's the type of God that You are, that You want us to flourish, that You want us to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And not just when everything's going our way, but You want us to experience those things all the time. So God, we thank You that coffee can be a reminder for us because we drink a lot of coffee. So thank You that this could be a reminder for us of the fruit that You've placed in us, the seed that You've placed in us, and that how You want it to be flourishing so that when we become the city on a hill, people will be able to notice and recognize that it's because of You, because You are in it, because You give us joy and You give us life. So Jesus, we thank You for this time. Just pray that You'll be in this worship time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.